I guess it is.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films The Mule.
I'm riding my donkey, and there ain't nothing you can do.
Riding my donkey, political talk show. And Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And I'll be giving you my thoughts on The Favorite, which Dirty A was too scared to go see. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or from our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or head on over to iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or go to Facebook, search for The Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page.
They won't do any of that.
Yes, they will. They will. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. Our last episode still hasn't posted yet as we talk here.
And it's a doozy.
It was good. No, it was a good episode. I'm actually editing it right now, so it'll be posting probably tonight or tomorrow.
Episode 182, on its way.
178.
219.
And, now you're making me, like, double check. I hate you. So, I hate you. What's going on? Oh, the Avengers trailer came out, finally. Yeah, it's called Endgame.
It's a good trailer.
It's a teaser. Okay. It's a good teaser.
I get why they had to.
Right.
But had to. I get why they did, but I wish they'd just stopped focusing on Tony Stark all the time. Like, it made perfect sense to do that here.
Right.
But still, it's like, it was all Tony.
Yeah, except for the end. The end was Black Widow and Captain America. Yeah, I mean the trailer gives nothing away at all.
Which is good.
What was the other trailer that came out? Something else came out. We were supposed to get the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer by now, but they debuted it at like the Brazilian Comic Con or something like that.
Instead, we've gotten some
bits
of information kind of thing.
Right,
like, pictures of Gyllenhaal. And,
yeah.
But no trailer.
But no trailer yet. Hellboy trailer
is supposed to come out Thursday. Yeah.
And that's going to be R-rated, they're saying, which is good.
Hope so.
Still
feel bad for Ron Perlman.
Yeah, but I mean,
not terrible. I mean, that's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not going to reboot something and then use the same cast.
Yeah,
because at that point, people get confused.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the other thing, though. They didn't really have to reboot it.
No, they didn't. That's all right. But it was a decision made between the artist and the studio. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, because this one is going to hedge closer to Mike Mignola's book, the comic book.
Perlman is pissed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, he doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, really?
No, he's very upset that he's not involved.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
I mean, he was good.
Yeah, he was good. I'm sure David Harbour.
I'm sure he'll do a great job.
Yeah,
he'll be fine.
What else?
Not a whole lot. I mean, the Oscar, no, or the... Not the Oscar nominations. The Golden Globe nominations came out.
Yeah, and Vice got the most nominations. And it comes out next week. And the reviews are coming out now. And they're mostly favorable reviews. But there's a lot of mixed reviews in there. There were some negative reviews in there. Because I think people... But I think it also depends on your political bent. Look, if you liked George W. Bush and you thought he was a great guy and stuff like that, you're... gonna hate this movie, I'm sure. If you believe that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney belong in prison, you'll probably love this movie, I think. from what I'm understanding.
I'm sure on a personal level, George W. Bush is a fun, easygoing guy. He's just ignorant and should never have run the country.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, he didn't really run anything.
That's true. As Vice will show us.
What else is going on? Aquaman comes out this week. I got my ticket. Yay. I'm going under the sea. Mary Poppins comes out this
week. That's your solution to everything, Homer, to move under the sea. Well, it's not going to happen.
Mary Poppins is coming out this week.
Yeah, it's getting mixed reviews as well. Yeah. Mostly.
It's basically mostly, Mary Poppins Awakens.
mostly it's okay, but yeah. it's there's nothing new here.
They're saying it's a lot like the original.
Yeah. Which honestly is fine for me.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you can't go in. I don't know exactly what you'd expect.
I wanted a dark and edgy Mary Poppins movie.
Right. Sherry Bobbins.
But what's interesting is that it's not coming out Tuesday. They're not doing early release on Tuesday.
It's just a Wednesday.
It's just Wednesday. Done. It's coming out Wednesday, whether you like it or not. Welcome to Marwin's coming out this weekend.
That's really good.
I do want to see that. Bumblebee comes out this weekend, and it's
fucking
actually,
everyone's get, it's getting and it's good getting really reviews. Good reviews. In not so surprising news, all the reviews start out surprisingly, and hear us out. This is actually a good movie. Like they let you know up front, we are a legitimate source for this, and we're telling you it's decent.
It doesn't surprise me because Travis Knight did such a great job.
Well, sure.
Kubo.
I mean, again, Kubo. This is not a Michael Bay Transformers movie.
Right.
Ergo, there's no reason why it can't be good. Right.
So,
hey, like I said last time, 5 Transformers movies in, and we're finally getting to see Cybertron. So, kudos.
Kudos. What else is coming out? Vox Lux is playing around here, but you didn't see it yet. I need to see it.
I wanted to, but it's only playing at like South Point right now, I think.
No, it was playing at Crossroads.
No, I think one night only. When I looked at it, I would have gone to see that instead.
You know what I saw on Crossroads, on Fandango? They didn't have all their movies
Shit. That's what I would have gone to see today.
They didn't have all their movies
That
on
pisses
there.
Me off.
Because, I mean, unless they're only showing like 4
Yeah, because I know movies there. Because
you know what happened? I went to Adam movies, and they had Vox Lux on
there. That upsets me, because that's what I wanted to go see today. And I was like, oh, I thought I saw the other day that it was playing at Crossroads, but now it's not. That kind of upsets me.
Yeah, Fandango's been weird with Regal lately.
Oh, well.
It's been weird with
Regal. I mean, I'll see it eventually.
But now we get to talk about the Mule.
Okay.
Apparently, one of our friends is president of the Clint Eastwood fan club, I guess.
Wow. I love Clint Eastwood, but it doesn't mean everything he does is gold.
Exactly. The Mule is supposedly based on a true story, and it's written by Sam Dolnick, and it's inspired by the New York Times Magazine article, "The Sinaloa Cartel's 90-Year-Old Drug Mule" by Nick Schneck. Sometimes movies based on magazine articles work. And sometimes they don't.
It was an interesting choice to try to collapse this into like a handful of months, as opposed to the thing it's based on. He did it for 12 years.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Shit. Oh yeah.
That was
an
interesting thing to collapse it to where he only did 12 runs. This guy. And I don't know. Anyway.
I didn't know that. This movie is Clint Eastwood directs it. He stars in it. His last movie, his last movie, which was the Paris train attack movie, was apparently I didn't see it, but apparently it was awful.
The kitschy thing about that movie is that it used the real people.
Yeah,
it
used the real people, which is probably why it was awful.
Right.
I've heard that the actual attack sequence is fantastic, but the whole movie as a whole
is
terrible.
I didn't catch it either. I should have, but I didn't catch it. But this one, this movie's not egregiously bad.
No, it's not. It has its moments, but the problem that I had with this movie, and if you haven't seen the trailer, basically this old man is having money problems, and he miraculously gets hooked up with, like, that was the most random horseshit ever. I was like when that happened, I was like, I literally like turned to people in the theater, I'm like, really this is happening right now.
I'm pretty sure the cartel's a little more discerning than to have like their nephew's best friend's cousin come out and be like, hey, you looking for something to do?
I got just the thing.
Here's a card for you, old man. Like, okay.
I mean, that was
and then
stupid.
Never to be heard from again.
Yeah. That guy never shows up again. Because he's dead.
So clearly.
He was handing out cards to everyone at that party.
The aspect not entertained in this movie is the fact that apparently his granddaughter has
friends
who are in relation to Mexican drug cartel, but all right.
So he's having money problems, and he ends up being a drug mule for the Mexican cartels. And it's because he's an old man, and he has a perfect driving record, and no one's going to pull him over, no one's going to bother him, and yada, yada, yada.
And when they do, he'll talk their head off like an old man.
Oh, my God. So the problem...
Bradley Cooper's throwaway role.
Oh, my God. He was totally wasted. Bradley Cooper and...
he could have added an extra layer to this movie.
Yeah.
But instead, they just flatten him out throw him in there, and that's it.
Oh, my
God. And Michael Pena, who is not even in it. I mean...
He's barely in it.
Why? I don't even know.
Yeah, Michael Pena.
Who knows what they cut out of him, because... Yeah. He's got like two lines in the whole fucking movie.
Bradley Cooper, Michael Pena, and Lawrence Fishburne play FBI agents who are... DEA agents. DEA agents. Yes. Sorry, not FBI. DEA agents who are trying to break the back of the cartels. And what I just explained right there is 1,000 times more exciting than it actually is in the movie, because it's boring as fuck.
The ops, if you will...
Yeah.
Consist of lines like, okay, go get that warrant.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Okay. All right. Got it. Excellent.
So.
Now, granted, that's not what the story's about. This is not a story that's meant to tell a cartel story or anything.
Right.
It is a redemption story of sorts. It is supposed to be more of a character-driven story.
It was probably really easy for Diane Weiss to know memorize her lines, because she only has the three same lines throughout the whole fucking movie.
Right.
I hate you. Why did you screw us over?
And I love you and hate you.
I love you and hate you. Basically, Clint Eastwood was like a flower guy, and he was a gardener.
Not like a 60s flower child. Right. He was an actual gardener.
Yeah.
Who also was in the Korean War veteran.
Right, yes. And he devoted his life to work and neglected his family, and they hate him for it, basically. And now they're foreclosing on his house.
Foreclosed on his house.
Yes. Yeah, they foreclosed on his house. And where was he staying all this time before he started getting the money?
Shh.
Okay. So he goes to work for the cartels because he has no choice, basically. And then...
Well, let's not.
Well, that's true. I mean, he needs money desperately. Yeah. So...
And also, he doesn't... The first time isn't like he's knowingly doing it. He's... I'm not saying he's dumb, but he doesn't...
He's dumb.
He's not verifying this is drugs, or he's just told package A.
Come on,
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just like,
when he, like, if you watch the trailer, there's a scene in the very beginning of the trailer where he opens up his trunk of the, and then there's like
you
a
think
bag.
That's a tense moment,
and you think that was totally diffused.
The trailer makes it think like that's a big tense moment. Right. That's like nothing in the movie. That's
and what happens is, though, he opens up the bag and he goes, "Wow," And I'm like, oh, well, maybe he's surprised at how much it is or something like that. No, this motherfucker was surprised that it was drugs. Like, and I'm just are you stupid? It's like, what do you think?
They're paying you for
Like
thousands and
thousands.
Why
do you think they're paying you thousands and thousands? Because you're taking crayons across the fucking border, you idiot? Right. I mean, geez, when that happened, my eyes almost rolled out of my head. Because I was just like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's that dumb that he didn't know he was running drugs? So
he wasn't running them between countries.
No, that's right. I'm sorry. It was between states.
It was between states. He was going from Texas to Chicago.
Illinois, where he lives.
Yeah.
And this movie was really just an excuse for Clint Eastwood to grope as many young women as he could.
And to
throw out racial epithets.
Yeah.
The Mexican characters in this are the worst stereotypes.
You mean Mexican characters such as Andy Garcia?
Yeah, except for him, I guess. He's the only one who's not. Everybody, here's my question, okay? This guy is doing a good job for them. He doesn't get pulled over. Nothing happens. Da, da, da. And all of a sudden, they're like, let's just start being total assholes to this guy. And it's like, you know, and then they're like, if you start fucking up, you're going to die. It's like, well, but I've never fucked up before.
Well, okay, there was a reason for that. We don't want to give spoilers away. There was a reason for the change in attitude.
Oh, no, I know that, but it still, it made no sense.
Now, here's what made no sense to me. And what do I know? Maybe, I could be way wrong on this. I could be way off base.
Right.
But for my money, I'm pretty sure that a cartel is not just going to let some guy do whatever he wants.
Right.
And just, I'm just throwing it in the bed of the truck. Like, no, you don't need to line it into the seats or anything. Just throw it in the back of the truck. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just put millions of dollars in the end back there.
Yeah.
And no accountability really whatsoever. Yeah. And then my other favorite thing is when the cartel flat out notices cops pulling over black trucks and somehow he doesn't get a new car. They don't force him to get a new car.
Yeah, that was stupid. That was stupid.
It makes no sense. Like, of course you're going to be like, dude, you have got to get rid of that truck.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, that's the problem I have with this movie, ultimately, is that this movie was too simple. It was too simplistic. There was no...
And this is what I mean by when they tried to truncate 12 years into 3 months.
Right.
They just took everything that might have happened and...
There's no complexity to this story whatsoever. Even the redemption story, which on the surface, I guess it's fine, but it's so...
There's no real emotion to it.
There's no real emotion because you don't really get to know the family. No. All you see of the family is when he shows up to events and then they fucking berate him and then he leaves.
Yeah. Except for his granddaughter.
Except for his granddaughter.
Who's the one that clings on to the love.
She's trying so hard.
Why? I don't know.
And then, like I said, the Mexican characters are just complete stereotypes. I mean, they're complete. And he's got a great cast in this, but they're just stereotypes.
It's a killer cast.
Stereotypes.
And then the end, I don't know if we'll give it away or not, but that made no sense to me whatsoever.
I'm trying to think.
Well, not the very end, but the fact that he's got two youthful cartel members holding guns to him and...
Oh, that part, yeah.
No.
I think it's just because... Well, yeah, but... Yeah,
there's no way.
Like,
zero
chance.
That's why that's why it had to happen off screen.
Well, I think they just let him go. I think they just roughed him up.
See, that's what my friend said. I swear in the hearing they mentioned, like, murder.
I don't think so. Did they?
Yeah, I swear when that was one of the charges that he was given, because I thought the same thing until that scene.
Oh. I don't want to say I'd have to watch it again, but
I'd
have to look it up or something. But
maybe that did...
Because if that's the case, then this movie's even worse than I thought it was.
But it's hard pressed for me to think I made that up.
Right.
I don't know.
The thing is, like, because I
thought that too.
Right.
I thought clearly they let him go.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, maybe.
But like, it's, you know, it's so funny how like every cartel member
because
is.
Because also
like,
you have to ask, why would they let him go? The kingpin
that's what I was about to guess.
The kingpin said, kill him, and then you take care of the shipment.
That's what I was about to get to, though. It's amazing to me that every guy who's like a hard ass to him in the cartel suddenly becomes like, but he's like my granddad.
Yeah.
Like even the guy who. Like, this is the guy.
His fucking wife was.
This is the guy who.
Showed him a dead body.
Showed him a dead body, took him into the woods, and basically said, if you fuck up, you're going to end up like this guy in the trunk. And then later he's like, but his wife died. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Aren't you just the guy who was like threatening to stick a gun up his asshole?
He's the guy that would do anything for the boss. And the boss said kill him.
Right.
Which is why I assume they didn't just let him go.
I don't know, man. If they're implying that he actually murdered those guys, then
it makes no sense.
Then the movie's dumb.
He was unarmed. He had two guns on him.
And he was 80
and
fucking
he's 80 some years old. Yeah. But it makes no sense that they let him go. I don't know.
The only thing I thought is that they let him go.
Because then those two guys would be dead.
Yeah.
They'd be signing their own death warrants.
I don't know.
And whatever. Well, anyway. I think we're spending a little bit too much time on this
movie. Yeah, we did,
It's not a bad movie, but it's very easy to pick apart because it's so lazy. For a movie that sole purpose exists for sentimentality, there's not a lot there.
Yeah, and it's just lazy. It's just a lazy storytelling.
It's like the poor man's Gran Torino.
And I wasn't even a big fan of Gran Torino either.
But it was much better than this.
It's been a while since I saw it. But yeah, I guess it was.
Mostly because Clint Eastwood sings in it.
Oh my God. All right, let's talk about a movie that was not a disappointment at all.
We're talking about Avatar.
Avatar. Because of course we are. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. This, along with Venom.
Why do you mention those in the same sentence?
Because, will you let me get to what I'm getting to? This, along with Venom, is basically giving Sony hope that they can actually run...
Financially.
They can run the Spider-Man train, because without Spider-Man...
Venom creatively does not give them much
hope. No, 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 no. But Into the Spider-Verse is written by Phil Lord. And there's other...
Well, there's three of them, I think.
There's three directors.
Okay. All right.
But the writers are Phil Lord, Rodney Rothman, and the stories by Phil Lord. And then they have all the comic book creators that are involved in these folks that came up with all the characters. Into the Spider-Verse follows a character created by Brian Michael Bendis when he was writing Ultimate Spider-Man. And I guess Mark Bagley, I think, was still drawing it at that point. Named Miles Morales. And he is half African-American, half Latino. And he gains the powers of Spider-Man. And what happened in the comic book is that Peter Parker died. And I want to say it was in the hundreds. Maybe the issue number was in the hundreds. He dies. And then basically Miles Morales became Spider-Man in the Ultimate Marvel Universe. Then they had this big crossover event, and now Miles Morales actually exists in the normal Marvel Universe alongside Peter Parker, who is obviously a more adult Spider-Man, because in the Ultimate Marvel he was more like Tom Holland. He was a kid. He was like a teenager. Miles Morales is a great character in the comic books, and that comes through here in this movie.
Yeah, I can't speak for the comics, but yeah, it definitely translates here.
He's great, and it totally shows all these bigots and
insecurities that the kid has.
It shows all these bigots out there that are like, when people ever say, oh, well, you know, you can make Spider-Man black, you can make Peter Parker black, he doesn't have to be white. And they're like, no, blah, 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 blah. Well, here is the proof, because Miles Morales is a fantastic character. He's got, he's played by Shameik Moore, who was in Dope.
I do believe Spider-Man is completely hooded anyway, so
right,
not
right,
sure why
right.
That's a... Anywho.
Yeah. he's played by Shameik Moore, who was in Dope. I think he's on the Get Down on Netflix.
Sure.
I don't watch the show, but because there's 9 million shows on Netflix. Right. I still have to watch Ozark, so
oh, yeah, that's good.
Brian Tyree Henry plays his father, and who plays his mother? Luna Lauren Velez plays his mother.
Okay. She's got like 2 lines.
Yeah, she's not in it much, but she's a nurse and he's a cop. The father's a cop. And then there's Miles's kind of free living uncle, who's the cool uncle, played by Uncle Aaron, played by Mahershala Ali. Fun fact
of Moonlight fame and
right.
and upcoming True
right.
Detective
and Green Book
yes.
Fun fact, Donald Glover played this Uncle Aaron character in Homecoming. You got to listen close but when Spider-Man comes to, you know, webs him to the car, he says something about his nephew Miles or something like that. So that's him. He's that character in Homecoming, possibly to be in future installments.
Is that confirmed?
That he's that character?
Yeah.
I didn't ever heard that was actually confirmed. Yeah.
I knew that that was clearly the heavy assumption, but I never knew it was called out.
It's him. Okay. Yeah, it's him. Because I think they're going to try and craft a world maybe where he exists in there. But, I mean, to be honest, I mean, what Sony could do now is that they could just let Peter Parker go, let him stay with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and just keep Miles Morales, and just do that, and just do that.
Well, there's a number of things they can do.
You don't have to make, you don't even have to make it animated. You could do a live action, you know, and bring these characters to life, you know, in live action.
But in keeping with this movie, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a very it's like it's almost like a new animation style.
It is. It's very
comic booky.
Yes.
Yeah, like you can like if you look at old comic books and they used to use like the dot coloring, where like they would use like you know I took cartooning classes, so like it was like a film that they would put on it, and like if you looked at someone who like was like a white person in the comic books, and you would look at the color like the. It would be like that peach color, you know, for the skin, but then it would be made up of these little pink dots and then like, you know, blue shaded, you know, and it was blue. And that's what's in this.
It's that style, but upgraded dramatically.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very vivid.
Yeah.
It just, this is actually one of those movies, one of those rare movies where I walked out of and said, maybe I should have seen this in 3D.
Yeah. I thought that too, because I will say this is one thing that bothered me about the animation though. There was a lot of situations where, like, it was, like, blurry on
blurry.
The sides.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, the and lockers I was just, like, would be blurry.
And I was just like, this is kind of taking me out of it a little bit. But it's very cool. It's very cool. It's almost like, I think, something similar to what maybe Ang Lee was trying to go for with the Hulk.
The Hulk. Yeah. For sure.
But didn't succeed.
Of course, it didn't succeed because he was trying to mix too much.
Right.
This stays grounded in what it wants to be.
Basically, what happens is that Miles exists on this Earth. I don't know. I forget what the number is.
Call it our Earth. I mean, if you...
No. It's not. It's not our Earth. It's different. Because that's when you look at, like, Times Square and stuff like that. It's like Red Man Group.
Oh,
and
you're
then
right.
There's, it's different. It's
you're,
a different it's
right.
a different Earth from
you're
what
right.
from where we
okay,
live.
Okay, fair.
And...
You're right.
But there is... a Spider-Man there, and it is Peter Parker, and Miles,
and he does die,
and yeah, Miles gets bitten by Miles gets bitten by a spider.
I assume the same spider, because there can't be that many
similar spider.
Well, because it had even the name on it, the
Alchemex.
Yeah. Oh, the number, I mean, though.
Right. So yeah, so he got bit by a spider, and he starts gaining the Spider-Man powers, and then he gets... It's convoluted how he gets thrown in with Peter Parker. But Peter Parker is there, and the main villain's the Kingpin, played by Liev Schreiber. And the Kingpin, the way they animated him, he looks like a box walking around.
Finally a Kingpin that looks like a Kingpin. Yeah.
But he looks like a box. Looks like a box.
He does. Don't get me wrong. Like if you're trying to get a live-action version of Kingpin... Mm-hmm. D'Onofrio was awesome.
Yeah.
But this is like
Kingpin. Right.
And the only thing that threw me with that was the black suit. I mean...
Yeah, because he always wears it. But that's why they did it, because it's on a different Earth.
Yes, because it's a different... That makes sense now.
So, Peter... But what happens is, and this is a minor spoiler, but you can probably figure out this is going to happen anyway because of the groundwork I laid about the comic and everything... Peter Parker does get killed.
The Peter Parker of this given
Earth.
Of
this given Earth gets killed because... And he's played by Chris Pine, which a lot of people didn't know.
Killed by...
Kingpin. But you'll notice something's really off when he takes off his mask. And he has blue eyes
and blonde hair.
And Peter Parker does not have...
Perfect.
He's the Nazi dream Spider-Man.
Perfect.
So that looks off. Then what happens is what the Kingpin's trying to do is he has like a Hadron Collider basically in like this basement of this building, the sub-basement of this building. And his family was killed and he's trying to scour different universes to find matches for his family. It's really fucked up actually what he's doing. They don't really get into how fucked up it is. But if you really stop and think about it for a second, you're like, that's fucked up. So that's what he's doing. And then what happens is the collider goes off. And then
Spider-Man gets kind of sucked in it.
It drags these other spider people from these other different alternate Earths, and you get Peter B. Parker, who is played by Jake Johnson.
I think
he's our Spider-Man. I think he might be our Spider-Man.
Maybe. Maybe, but he's much older.
He's much older. He's like in his 30s,
and he's let himself go.
Right. He's in late 30s. Yeah. He's gotten, you know, we won't go into everything. Yeah. But yeah.
Noir Spider-Man.
There's Spider-Man Noir, who's played by yes. Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
There's Haley Steinfeld, who plays Spider-Gwen, which is Gwen Stacy as Spider-Man. Then there's, I got to see the girl's name, Kimiko Glenn, who plays Penny Parker. And she's like a Japanese girl who has like this Spider-Man robot.
It's really fucking weird to me to see a robot that needed to swing on a web.
Yeah. And then there's the greatest Spider-Man of them all, John Mulaney, playing Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham. And he's the best of all of them.
Spider-Pig. Spider-Pig.
Exactly, exactly. And Spider-Ham, none of these characters were invented just for this movie. They've been in the comic books. Spider-Ham has been in the comic books since like the 80s. And I have, somewhere in my collection, I have a few Peter Porker comics. They were funny. And John Mulaney does a great job with his voice. It can get weirder. My hands are wet. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet. That's all. And then basically what the spider people have to do is they have to work together to get them all home. And meanwhile, Miles is trying to learn how to be Spider-Man. And
they quickly realize they have to get home or they're gonna die.
Yes. Because they're not supposed to be in this dimension. Right. And like what they call it, shifting or something like that. It's something like that.
Which then, maybe you could have just told Kingpin that you can't have your...
He's not gonna listen. It's a really well done movie. There are some things that were a little like...
Well, I don't think I liked it a lot, but I didn't think the story was near as great as the animation was.
Right. The plot is very kind of convoluted.
Yeah.
I'm afraid it might be a little hard for little kids to understand. Because this movie is PG.
But little kids don't ever need to understand. Right. They're there to see bright visual things and to see funny Spider-Man.
The one thing that really irked me at the end, I'm like, how did his father get down there?
Why did he get down there?
That's convenient. Yeah. That's convenient. I am
biased, but I loved Spider-Man Noir because of Nick Cage.
Of course you did. He's like
I'm taking this home with me.
Yeah, he's
got like a Rubik's Cube and he can't see color. He doesn't know colors because he's all in black and white. He's got this Rubik's Cube. And he's like, this is purple. No.
He's from the 30s and he speaks like almost like a gangster.
Yeah.
A gangster movie. It's really funny.
He is funny. He finally got to be in his superhero movie.
No, technically he was in Teen Titans Go.
Well, he played Superman.
Well,
and technically he was a big bad daddy.
Right. He played Superman in Teen Titans Go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of fun. It's really great. To me, honestly, it's the second best Spider-Man movie behind Homecoming. It's better than any of the other live action movies. It's just for me, Homecoming completely nailed Peter Parker perfectly. But they've said there's going to be spinoffs. They're going to do a Spider-Gwen movie. And I'm like, good, bring it.
It's hard to say this didn't nail Peter Parker because there's so many versions of
right,
it.
Right.
You're not trying to hone in on one.
But it wasn't about him.
The story is Miles Morales.
It's about Miles Morales. Right. And they also nailed Miles Morales. Yeah. The other thing I didn't like, the other thing I was really kind of pissed about was that his roommate in the school, because he goes to like this very like prestigious
prep school,
this prestigious like science prep school, like Peter Parker in Homecoming,
yeah.
Except it's like a dormitory situation.
Yeah.
His roommate is supposed to be like his like
sidekick. What is he called in Homecoming? What is he called?
The man in the chair.
The chair. Yeah.
Because that's what they based Ned on.
Well, it looks like that's where they're going for it.
Yeah,
again,
probably.
Because he's at the very end. He introduces himself as Spider-Man to this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, that his roommate's name in the comics is Genki, and that's basically who Ned is in Homecoming. Because the only other Ned that's in Spider-Man is Ned Leeds, who turns into the Hobgoblin and stuff like that. And it's like, that's not who Jacob Batalon is.
I don't know what in my head was making me think this would be this Earth anyway, because the other villain that's introduced here is the Green Goblin, and it's nothing like
Right, he's a monster, which is right out of the Ultimate Universe. Right. It's right out of the Ultimate Marvel Comics, because that's what they made him. And it actually makes more sense, honestly, than the Green Goblin in general. But yeah, it's really, really great. It's a lot of fun. And there's nothing... There were a couple, I would say, minor jump scares surrounding one of the villains. But other than that, I think kids will really like it. I think kids will enjoy it. So you can take your kids to see this, no problem. Like I said, it's PG. It's not even PG-13 like the Homecoming. And if your kids have seen Homecoming, they're definitely going to be fine to see this movie. But yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely check out Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. The one film that can probably challenge Incredibles 2 for the Oscar, possibly, for Best Animated Film.
Yeah,
because there's some critics group just called it the best movie of the year. Well, Spider-Man.
That's a little much.
It's a little much for me, but it's really, really good. It's really good.
It is.
It's
you know, it's a decent story that's just completely elevated by the animation.
Yeah.
because it's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's the only word. It is a brilliant animation.
Yeah, the story. And that all goes to Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who were trying to, they're producers on it, and they were trying to do something different with this and make it unique and new and fresh. And they did it. They really did it. The only quibbles I had were, like you said, like the plot was a little, you know, it's like, but.
The only other thing that really got on my nerves, and this again is just because I tend to pick things apart more than most, is that all the other characters seem to know about all the other universes but him.
Yeah.
None of you would know about each other. Why are y'all acting like you have all this information? Y'all would be just as lost as Miles is in this whole thing. Like,
yeah, probably.
That didn't jive for me.
Yeah.
But,
anyway. Except for Spider-Ham.
Well, of course. That was the one scene that was ruined for me in the trailer that I wish they hadn't put in the trailer, when they're all climbing on.
Oh yeah,
wall.
He says,
"Can animals talk in this universe?" Because I would hate to
freak him out.
Yeah.
So the other movie that I saw this week was The Favorite, by our good friend Yorgos Lanthimos, who did The Lobster, which we both loved.
That was a great movie.
That came out
years ago. Such an original movie.
And he also did... what the hell was it called?
The Deer Hunt.
The Sacred Deer. Something of the Sacred Deer.
Which I really loved.
You really loved... I liked it, but yeah, you really loved
it. I did.
Killing
of a Sacred Deer.
Right. Which was good. It was different from The Lobster because it had a lot of dark humor in it. But it was actually more of a thriller, I would say.
Yeah.
But
this guy's just extremely unique.
Yeah, he's great. And he did not write The Favorite.
Oh, okay.
It was written by Deborah Davis and Tony McNamara. And this movie is brilliant. It is funny.
Is it a dark comedy or is it just a comedy?
It's a dark comedy. Okay, it's right. a dark comedy. Right. It's about Queen Anne in 18th century England. And she is got a lot of maladies and stuff like that. And she's played by Olivia Colman, who's
fantastic. I love her.
She is great in this. And she's probably going to win Best Actress,
good.
I would think.
I really like her.
She's really good.
Yeah.
And she is, she's on the throne of England, and her close confidant and friend is Lady Sarah, who's played by Rachel Weisz.
Oh, by the way, she is the lead detective in Broadchurch.
Right, and I think she's also going to be the new Queen and the Crown.
Oh, is she?
Because they did the first 2 years, which was young Elizabeth. Now it's going to be like middle age Elizabeth, and then I guess there'll be old Elizabeth later. Which I guess just go get Helen Mirren to do it again. Rachel Weisz. And Rachel Weisz is basically like, she's kind of like Dick Cheney. She's like
the right hand woman.
She's the
doer, the fixer.
She's the power behind the crown a little bit. Mm-hmm. And what happens is her cousin, Abigail, played by Emma Stone, shows up looking for a job.
Because, oh, so she knows her.
Right. Oh, well, sort of. Oh, like, okay. Yeah.
The distant cousin, kind
of. I guess. But, yeah. She is... she was a lady, and then her father had a scandal and shit, and then now she's a common girl. And so she's trying to get back into high society. And to watch Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone vie basically for the affections of the queen and the favor of the queen is just, it's great. And it's definitely a dark comedy. It might not be for everybody. But I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. So funny. And Nicholas Hoult is in this. And Mark Gatiss is in this.
Okay.
Mark Gatiss plays Rachel Weisz's husband. And Nicholas Hoult plays the...
Beast.
No. He plays Beast, no, yes, right. But not in this. Right. He plays.
No, I mean, in this, he plays.
He plays the opposition leader, in Parliament.
Party leader. Gotcha.
And and his interactions are so funny. It's just, it's really. I'm just thinking back to all these scenes. It's so good. If you can see that, if the favorite's playing in your area, go see it. It's great. It's rated R. Obviously, it's not for kids, so don't. And they'd be bored anyway. But it's wickedly funny and really, really good. And I got to be honest, it might, like I said, it might be my favorite movie of the year so far. Really, really good.
Literally lives up to its name.
The Favorite with a U.
Damn British.
That's right.
What do they know about English anyway?
Screwing up our American. So that'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. Our next episode will probably be the plethora of movies that are coming out in the next week and a half. Like we said at the top of the show, Aquaman, which is getting mediocre reviews.
like it started out, the reviews were like, oh, this is amazingly fantastic.
And then it looks amazing, but the script is terrible. So
yeah.
It's supposed to be a fun movie. I got my ticket. I'm going to go see it. We'll see what happens. But yeah, and Bumblebee, I guess I'll go see it at some point.
Won't be high on my list, but I'll maybe, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I have to see.
I'm so soured by the whole thing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I mean, because the other Transformers movies are terrible, but I have to see Shockwave. Megatron! Ooh, I wonder if Megatron, if they're going to have Megatron in there.
How can you not?
And he'll look like Megatron from the cartoon.
But how can you not have Megatron? I don't know.
Soundwave, Megatron, the biggest.
I hope they turn him into a giant gun.
Who, Megatron?
Yeah,
me too. Like, I never understood that about the Transformers.
No, it never
like,
made any
like,
sense.
Shockwave would transform into a cassette player, and then he got small. I'm like, why does he get small?
Why?
And how come Megatron is bigger than all the Decepticons?
Gigantic gun.
And then he turns into, like, a pistol.
That
like,
someone else holds.
That's why Galvatron made more sense, because he turned into a giant cannon by himself. Right. And then he would shoot the cannon, which was cool. Galvatron, of course, for those who don't know, and I mean, how could you not know? Galvatron is the...
For the non-discerning Transformer fan.
Is the transformed Megatron. Unicron transforms him into Galvatron. Played by Leonard Nimoy in the film.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Fresh Podcast. We'll see you next time, folks. Thanks for listening.